Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our second quarter 2015 results presentation from GB Auto. We have Dr. Rouf Gabour, CEO, and Mr. Abbas Al-Sayed, Group Vice President and Finance, presenting the second quarter 2015 results. I will hand over to Dr. Gabour for his presentation, then we will have a Q&A session.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our second quarter 2015 earnings call. Ladies and gentlemen, we have experienced the second quarter in a row of what can only be described as mixed results. As a group, we again saw our top line rise despite challenging conditions, including the shortage of foreign currency. April and May were very difficult months for us. However, our performance in June more than compensated for this and led us to believe that 2015 could be a strong year across our lines of business. This is particularly the case in Egypt, our home market. At the same time, our expansion markets, and especially Iraq, continued this quarter to present unique challenges far beyond our control. I'd like to begin by offering that, as I've noted before, bumps in the road, such as the year-on-year dip in passenger car revenues, are nothing new for us. We have always thrived in trying conditions, and the current period through which we are passing will be no exception. As has so often been the case since the global financial crisis and through the two revolutions that followed, we have a demonstrated ability to capture opportunities in challenging circumstances. Moreover, I remember our performance in even more difficult times for our main market, Egypt, 20 years ago. Despite the dire economic conditions back then, our company was quite profitable, an experience that reinforces our ability to turn the situation in our favor when least expected. I'll start with a survey of the quarter just ended in Egypt, beginning with passenger cars. Our passenger cars line of business continues to be the driving force behind GB Auto's performance, with our Egyptian passenger cars operations leading the way. Passenger car sales in our home market accounted for 53% of total group revenue in the second quarter of this year. This is all the more impressive when you recall from last quarter that we made a strategic decision to withhold deliveries of Geely products to dealers as we sought to correct a market oversupply. In tandem, we took the opportunity to work on quality issues of a car that captured a high single-digit market share right out of the gate. These issues have been addressed, and we now see signs of sales returning to near-normalized levels. The drop in CKD Geely sales in the quarter should be seen in that context. The bulk of our sales in Egypt continue to come from Hyundai, and I'm happy to note that total sales of Hyundai CBU units rose 22.5% in the quarter and 38.2% in the half, signaling continued strong consumer demand and confidence. We are also in the process of rolling out a number of 2016 models which should boost our sales. Mazda, meanwhile, continues to report increases in unit sales, revenues, and contributions to the passenger cars line of business, gross profit. We are quite pleased with this division's performance in general and are looking forward to developing the business further. All that being said, margins were again pressured by the devaluation of the Egyptian pound against both the US dollar and the Korean won. Japanese and European vehicles are also simultaneously benefiting from devaluation and improving their profits even as they leave their prices static. This has prevented us from passing the full impact of devaluation to the market, a practice at which we had succeeded since official devaluation started. We continue to work in the third quarter to pass on price rises. More critically, I'd like to again sound the alarm when it comes to the larger threat, not just to our business, but to our industry in the long term. That threat is, of course, the unfair customs advantage enjoyed by the European, Turkish, and Moroccan vehicles against assembled in Egypt cars. As pressure continues to build and the situation becomes increasingly dire, I remain optimistic that the current government will address this issue sooner rather than later. Along with our peers in the industry and the Egyptian Federation of Industries, we are backing a plan that would see assemblers that go further down the value chain into manufacturing rewarded. In return for continuing to create jobs for skilled labor, companies that increase their local content would be rewarded with a series of incentives that would make continued assembly and manufacturing operations possible. I look forward to reporting more on this front in the months to come. Turning to our regional passenger car operations, the Iraqi market remains very difficult to navigate as the political, economic, and security situation in the country has seen consumer confidence buffeted. When coupled with oversupply issues due to non-authorized regional parties moving excess inventory into Iraq, the picture becomes even more complicated. That said, we still believe the Iraqi market is a key market in the MENA region and will continue to operate there to defend our market share in anticipation of a future recovery in demand. In terms of our Algerian operations, we remain focused on the very much present medium and long-term opportunities this market has to offer. That said, our growth in the second quarter was stalled as the impact of low oil prices and the government's move to allow substantial devaluation of the dinar have had a sharp impact on the market. Not surprisingly, it has also impacted our revenues from the market. Our goal for Algeria remains unchanged, to continue to cover our costs as we explore means of growing our presence in this potentially exciting territory. I'm very pleased to report that the motorcycles and three-wheelers business witnessed significant increases year-on-year in sales volumes, revenues, and gross profits on both a first quarter and a first half basis. With the attempt last year to ban the import of kits now behind us, there remains a remarkable market for these vehicles, not just in Egypt, but abroad. In Egypt, we expect to continue to work with authorities to ensure that tuk-tuks and motorcycles continue to serve the needs of low-income consumers. Speaking of which, we are pressing ahead with this line of business planned expansion, which will utilize proceeds from the recently finalized capital increase. Our present assembly facilities in Egypt are considered to be the first motorized assembly line of production for Bajaj three-wheelers outside India. And we are currently finalizing studies to install new painting and welding shops with considerable components and process localization. In tandem, we see significant opportunities to replicate our tuk-tuk and motorcycle experience in Iraq and other markets. The commercial vehicle and construction equipment line of business, meanwhile, performed well again in the second quarter, witnessing growth in overall revenues and gross profit amidst a favorable market environment. We also expect to deliver 150 Marco Polo buses built on Volvo chassis to the Public Transport Authority in Alexandria during this quarter. In Egypt, our tires business reported a decline in sales as we worked to avoid a long-term problem through our strategic decision to remake this into a cash and carry business. As I speak with you today, this division no longer has receivables from clients. You pay for what you buy at the time of collection. And just as positively, dealers have now reworked their cash flow cycles to suit our model, so sales are now returning to normal levels. In other good news, our regional tire operations were up in terms of both sales revenue and gross profit, as Goodyear sales in Algeria have been strong and Jumbo tires were successfully launched in both the Iraqi and Jordanian markets. We are also pressing ahead with a new tire manufacturing facility where negotiations are ongoing with a technology partner. The factory will enable us to lock in supplies of products suitable to our markets while simultaneously catering to strong local demand in North and East Africa and the GCC, where 99% of tires sold are imported. The financing businesses, meanwhile, continue to perform exceptionally, both on a divisional level and in terms of its four units. The long-term growth prospects of this business are particularly encouraging, and I expect to be making an interesting announcement about this line of business shortly. Finally, we are moving ahead with our new businesses, and I'm pleased to report that both Fabrica, our pre-owned vehicles line of business, and our lubricants business made positive contributions to gross profit this quarter. As always, I want to thank you all for your continued support throughout our journey navigating in a complex region filled with opportunity. We are pressing ahead with a successful model that has allowed us to excel during difficult times, a model that centers on moving up the value chain in our high-margin businesses while using our current operating strength to benefit from the less than favorable market conditions, all with an eye on further boosting the long-term profitability of our business. We look forward to continuing on this journey with each and every one of you. With that, I will hand over to Abbas Al-Sayed, as unfortunately our CFO Mustafa had an emergency this morning and he had to leave his office. Abbas will take you through a quick look at our financial performance in the second quarter, and then we'll open the floor to your questions. Please, Abbas.
Thank you, Dr. Raoul. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Despite the operational challenges faced during the second quarter and the first half 2015, GB Auto saw revenues increased by 4% and 11.4% respectively. The growth in revenue was driven mainly by strong performance of the motorcycle and three-wheeler, the commercial vehicles, and the financing business segments. Our gross profit margin, meanwhile, inched down slightly in the first half 2015 to 12.4%, only a 0.9 percentage point dip compared to the same period in 2014. As Dr. Raouf noted, the month of April and May 2015 witnessed an easing in demand, particularly in the auto market. However, it was somewhat offset by a stronger performance in June. Overall, the company's net profit increased by 26% year-on-year in the second quarter 2015, with margins inching up 0.3 percentage points to 1.6%. The second quarter of 2015 also marked the successful close of the GB Auto's 960 million EGB capital increase via rights issue, with 98.86% of the rights exercised during the first subscription round. Accordingly, the companies issued and paid in capital increased to 1.094 billion through the issuance of almost 959,000 new shares. The new shares were declared for trade on the EGX starting the 22nd of June. I would like to note here that the increase was financed through the injection of 473 million that were paid in cash and a further 485 million through the capitalization of the debt owned by GB Auto to its shareholders. As a result, the group's net debt stood at 2.95 billion, a significant decrease of 544 million compared to the first quarter of the year, and has reflected on the following. Net debt to equity dropped sharply to 0.78 times as of 13th of June 2015, down from 1.32 times at the end of 2014. Net debt to EBITDA also improved, standing at 2.82 times versus 3.45 times as at 31st of December 2014. Total debt was stable at 5.05 billion in second quarter 2015, which includes 1.03 billion of financing business debt as we continue to grow our operations efficiently. Our funds from operation continues to turn a positive figure, recording 309 million despite the challenging operational environment. This is thanks to GB Auto's new payables days on hand terms with its main supplier. Going into the second half of the year, GB Auto will continue to streamline and strengthen its financial position a key factor that has allowed the company to weather the adverse market conditions. Our investments in a new tire manufacturing facility and the motorcycle and three-wheeler assembly plant will help lay the foundation for future growth in these segments and allow GB Auto to meet demand across the region that is otherwise 99% satisfied through imports. And while we anticipate continued currency pressures for the remainder of the year, we are optimistic given the broad improvements in market sentiment witnessed toward the end of the second quarter. That concludes our presentation for today. Ladies and gentlemen, we would now be pleased to take any questions you may have. Operator.
Operator.
If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question today comes from Sam Adisi of Beltone Financial.
Good evening. Thank you for having the call. I had two questions. The first one relates to the FX shortage in Egypt. I was wondering how much it's affecting your inventory levels and how do you assess the inventory coverage? For how long will it last? This is the first thing to ask about. The second thing relates to the pickup seen in June 2015. Do you expect this pickup to continue for the remainder of the year or it was a one-off? And what is your overall assessment for 2015, the annual increase in passenger cars sold in the market? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Regarding foreign exchange, we have witnessed a big difficulty during the months of February, March, and partially April. Starting from late April, we have witnessed an improvement in the allocation. I can confirm that we have absolutely no issues regarding the foreign currency allocations related to industrial activities, which represent almost all our commercial vehicles, our two- and three-wheeler, and about 50% of our passenger car business. The problem basically in the second quarter was in the imported car, which is the only segment affected. Regarding the imported car, we have seen an improvement in the allocation of foreign currency, and as a result, today you can go in the market, ask for any imported or CBU Hyundai model, you will find it available either in our showrooms or throughout our dealer network. So I believe that the situation is not yet 100% back to normal, but I would say that if we had 100% problem during February, March, April, our problem now could be about 15 or 20% in the imported car. As for
your expectations for the full year?
No, I mean as for the pickup in June, I actually noticed a slowdown in the market during the month of April and May, especially after the Easter holiday. So until Easter holiday, the market was very strong. After the Easter holiday, until late May, the market was kind of slower, not bad, but slower. I have seen a big pickup in June, which has maintained so far and which I expect to continue. as for my expectations for the year, definitely if the foreign currency situation was normal, we would have seen a couple of $100 million extra sales revenue this quarter. Which is something like less than 10% improvement in the top line, and which would have improved the bottom line as well. But as my opinion, I believe that going forward, this is going to be behind all that. So I don't think that there will be a significant impact on the results of the business due to shortage of foreign currency. And by the way, during the period of the shortage, we have used our strategic inventory to cover up. So even during that period and the period which succeeded it, we didn't really suffer from shortages of goods.
Okay, and on the two- and three-wheelers front, do you think the ban that was issued by Cairo governor related to banning tuk-tuks in 8 areas of Cairo, do you think it's going to impact your sales or anything like that?
Absolutely not. No, first of all, I have to stress that I am fully supporting the governor of Cairo banning three-wheelers from areas like Center Cairo or Zamalek or whatever. Law has to be applied. And those people we have to enforce discipline at the end of the day. So it's not a banning. It's putting them or forcing them not to go outside their zones. I do not see that this will impact. I'm currently at my peak, and I need even more volume. So this is in the middle of what is called the banning. It's not a banning; it's disciplining.
So we should hear about the timeline for the two and three wheelers plant soon.
Yeah. We are actually finalizing discussion with the Ministry of Industry and with the supplier related to fixing to this product or to the three-wheeler, tricycle, and motorcycle, the percentages of local contents and the time frames during which those percentages have to be fulfilled. And parallel to that, we are in discussion with the supplier who is fully cooperative with us. So I think that we should be starting the construction very late this year or early next.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Nicholas Patton of HSBC.
Afternoon, everybody. I have some detailed questions on the passenger car business. Maybe if we could just deal with those quickly first. On the Geely destocking, you were quite significantly below our estimates for the second quarter, and I just wondered if you could give us some guidance for the full year now for the Geely business in Egypt.
Shall I take them one by one? Or?
I think okay. You won't remember them all if I do it the other way around.
Okay. For Geely, as a matter of fact, we faced two challenges. The first challenge was late last year we realized that the market was overstocked, or we oversupplied the volume with cars. So we intentionally withhold supplies during the first quarter in order to bring down the inventory level in the market to the reasonable number. And as a matter of fact, by the end of the first quarter, we have achieved that. Comes the second problem. While we were expecting to start selling big volume in April, because actually the market was almost not, I wouldn't say empty, but normally stuffed. Unfortunately, we started facing a terrible blackmailing, I would say, through social media against the car, claiming that the car has safety issues and claiming lots of false information. As a matter of fact, we have obtained from the supplier certificates related to the items the social media was attacking us for. And not only that, we went to German testing firms, global German testing firms, and we did neutral testing, and we got the results of those testing. And as a matter of fact, I am now threatening anyone in the social media who writes anything untrue about the product to take him to court. And as a matter of fact, we have reduced the inventory. I remember we had an inventory of 7,000 cars. That was reduced during the last 2 months to 3,500 cars, and I expect to be short of cars within 2-3 months. So I do not see a problem. I'm confident about the quality of the car. I have put the people who are blackmailing, I don't know if their intention was blackmailing GB Auto or blackmailing Geely, but at the end of the day, I am strongly facing them, and I have stopped them.
Okay, but I mean, I'm not quite sure what you mean by blackmailing. I mean, what were they hoping to get out of you?
No, it's not blackmailing, actually. They're bad-mouthing. They are trying to affect the car or the sales of the car or maybe the company by talking untrue information and putting images which are false images and putting information which are totally untrue in order to scare the public from buying the car. So we have done
this. This doesn't sound like a short-term issue. This sounds like something that might take a little while to recover from.
I told you I sold 3,500 cars in the last 60 days.
Right.
There was 1,000 cars in the market, and I liquidated 2,500 cars from my stock.
So what is a sensible number now for the full year?
I believe that we are now selling something like 1,000 plus cars a month. So I believe that we should be selling about 6,000 cars during the second half of the year.
Yeah, okay. Nine. So you're looking for about 10,000 cars, I guess, in total then?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. I mean, we previously had a number that was quite a bit higher than that in the model, so I just wanted to check that with you. Now, on the Carry Egypt, we were looking for significantly higher numbers there. We were looking for 500 units in the second quarter, and I think you've done 177. Is there a reason that we should expect that number to recover back to the run rate that we're looking for? Because I think the previous guidance was for 3,000 units in 2015, which now looks a bit out of reach.
Yeah. We started the Carry with a 1-liter engine, and the 1-liter engine proved not to be strong enough to take the load of the 7 passengers with the driver and the air condition. So we changed the engine to a 1.2-liter engine, which is now having no problem, and my run rate now is about 150 a month, which should see growth in the future.
Okay, that answers
and
that one.
As well, I have to mention that we had a very serious problem in the shipping of the components. So in many, during the first half of this year, most of the cars were shipped with short shipments of components or damaged components upon arrival. So we had a production which we could not supply to the end user, waiting for shipment to compensate the damaged and miss or short shipment items.
And just very quickly, so and now on the more positive ones, you actually beat on those estimates on the Mazda Egypt and the Geely Algeria. Are you expecting those run rates to be continued for the rest of the year?
As a matter of fact, I had today Mazda people, and they agreed to increase our allocation next year from 3,000 to 4,000 cars. So I expect much more in the future.
Okay. And just very quickly on the motorcycles, the 2- and 3-wheeler business, the margin there was quite a bit lower than we had expected. Was there some particular reason for that?
We actually chose not to pass part of the devaluation to the end user, choosing the volume. Those markets are very price sensitive. If you, let's say, we started the year with a foreign exchange of 718. Today, the foreign exchange is 783 plus we pay about 1.5% kind of something called allocation fees. So it's actually 795. So As a matter of fact, we have about 10% devaluation in 6 months. If I pass the whole 10% devaluation to the end user, you would have seen far lower volumes. So we do it gradually. And we hope that the devaluation will not be as speedy or more speedy. So we will recover the margins, definitely.
Okay, I've only got four more questions. Hopefully we can whip through these. The finance charge was quite a bit better than we expected. Can we expect that run rate to continue for the rest of the year?
Because the company has repaid or actually has capitalized half a billion from its debts. So that's direct.
I think even the rate was slightly better than we'd expected.
And
I know the absolute number should be coming down.
Reduced, the rate of Egyptian pound has reduced, was it 0.5 or 1? 0.5%. So the interest rate was reduced, and the debt of the company was reduced by half a billion.
So SG&A, that was significant.
The way I expected that the Central Bank of Egypt could be reducing the rate further next month.
Okay, okay. And SG&A, that was quite a bit higher than we expected. It was about 40 million higher than we expected it to be in the quarter.
Yeah. We have a clear explanation for that, which I will let Abbas explain to you.
There are one-off items that carried out during this year, as well as there are new items. For the one-off items, there are some consultancy fee which has been paid, and these are one-off for studies carried out for investment opportunity, as well as a donation that has been paid. We've already donated 350 two-wheeler to Ministry of Interior. The reason for that, the introduction of a new business not exist in the comparative figure. For instance, lubricant business started late in 2014. Therefore, there is no comparative figure between 2015 and 2014 for this line of business, as well as the ESOP. We finalized the ESOP regulatory requirement end of 2014, and we've already granted the ESOP shares to the employee, and we are required by the Egyptian accounting standards as well as the international financial reporting standards to account for the fair value of the ESOP shares granted to the employee, not the par value. And this fair value has to be charged to the income statement over the vesting period, which is 2 years for the discounted shares and 3 years for the free shares. The last reason for that, we used to compensate our employees through the annual payroll rule as well as part of dividends distribution. And this is as per the Egyptian accounting standards. Given that we are currently undertaking investment plans in the foreseeable future, management of the subsidiaries decided to withhold and retain the profit and not to distribute this profit. Therefore, we will use it in our investment plans. Therefore, the portion that was given to the employee has been, as part of dividend distribution, has been charged to the income statement for this period.
Okay, that's very, I mean, I guess it's a very clear answer, but I guess in future it would be useful to at least have the numbers for each one of those items in the press release when you have your SG&A moving by such a significant number. I mean, it's moved up to over 7% of sales, and it's all ordinarily been between 4 and 5, I guess, over an extended period of time, so it might make sense to put that in the press release next time. Last two questions, I promise you. Tax was very high, 60% of PTP. Was there any particular reason for that?
If you look at the tax, GBO2 is working in jurisdictions which is tax-free, as well as Egypt, which is taxed at 30%. Our operation in Iraq is tax-free, and for all Egypt, our Egyptian operation is taxed at 30%. If you look specifically at the Egyptian operation for the PCCD and two and three wheeler, we have a net profit before tax for more than 120 million, which is taxed at 30%. This is apart from our financing business, which is quite profitable this year. But on the other hand, GK, our operation in Iraq, reported losses this year, which has reduced our consolidated profit.
So, as a matter of fact, last year we had a very profitable Iraqi operation, which was tax exempted, so the effective tax rate for the group was minimal. This year, unfortunately, Iraqi, instead of posting big profits, it's posting losses, and the Egyptian operations, which are taxable, are the majority of the profits, so the effective tax rate should be.
Yeah, I see. I understand. Okay, subtle. And the last question, and just on your net debt, I mean, you haven't generated any cash for the last couple of years for various reasons. What do you expect for the second half? Do we expect your net debt number to go up in the second half?
If you account for the financing business, yes.
Okay, that's an interesting point. So what about XDX for the financing business?
Pardon?
What about X, the financing business?
What about what?
X, the financing businesses, if you exclude the financing business. If you look at the operational business.
No, excluding financial business, we don't have, until year-end, serious investment because we're starting the investments beginning of next year, either for the tire manufacturing facility or the two- and three-wheeler facility. So I should expect X finance business, we should be reducing our debt.
Okay, and including the financing business, what's your estimate for the full year? How much cash is that going to absorb?
I have here the chairman of the finance business. She can be better.
The total debt of the financing businesses as of June stands at around $1 billion. It all depends at the pace of growth that the companies making up the financing group would like to grow. We can add up another 200, 300, possibly 400 million, depending on the market situation. As you understand, it's not a sale opportunity over here. It's a matter of locating proper client base, corporates, and as well as retail. So once we have the right client on hand, we provide the additional funding for it. So that has an implication on the debt.
Okay, so worst case scenario, it's going to go up by 400 million, I guess.
Yes.
At a group level. Okay. That's very clear. Sorry to take so much time. Congratulations. Decent set of numbers. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Tamin Elian of Bloomberg.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rolf. I have two questions. There were reports that you were planning to start a new finance, microfinancing unit that would start operating this quarter, third quarter. Any progress on this regard? Second question is, what are your plans regarding new models? Are you planning to introduce new models, car models in Egypt or in the regional markets this year?
Actually, you will hear very soon an announcement about financing business. So we will make it hopefully within this month. So at this stage, I cannot disclose any further.
So how would it be different than the existing ones?
We will make a disclosure within the next 2-3 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
As for new models, yes, we have a product range which is about 20 models. Which are changing every 4 years. So every year we have at least five new models coming. I'm expecting at least one of them will be sold like hotcakes. And it's a new market segment in Egypt, and we will announce it very soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Sharat Dua of Charlemagne.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Ralph and team. Thank you for your time. I wanted to follow up on a few of the questions that were raised earlier and just get a bit more detail initially, if I could, please. Firstly, on the proposed tuk-tuk ban in Cairo, Dr. Ralph, if you could just explain a bit more detail why you think that that's not an issue and why you're supportive. I presume you have been selling into Cairo market up until now. Why do you think that that's not a problem for your investment in that space?
I am totally with putting discipline on forcing the tuk-tuks not to go out of the routes where they should operate. The routes where they should operate, they should be operating in slum areas and villages. Cairo, more than 50% of the inhabitants of Cairo are living in slum areas. And in those areas, there are no transport means for transporting individuals. The moment the three-wheeler goes in kind of center Cairo or on Kasr el-Nil Street or on the Cairo-Alexandria Desert Highway or on any highway, that creates huge hazards and huge accidents because the guys driving the three-wheeler, they don't have a driving license. They are below the age of driving. They could be kids of 12 years. And I cannot, as a respectable Egyptian citizen, I cannot accept this to happen. What the governor of Cairo has done is not to ban the tuk-tuk in Cairo. Do not read the newspapers. They pick part of the truth and they leave you in the dark. He said in some districts of Cairo, which are districts covered completely with the public transportation means, and where the tuk-tuk should not operate because the density of traffic is huge, in those parts of Cairo, if a tuk-tuk is driven, it will be confiscated, and the driver of the tuk-tuk will have to pay £1,500 Egyptian pound fine in order to get back his tuk-tuk, and if he repeats, the penalty will be final confiscation of his three-wheeler. But in the rest of Cairo, which is where my market is, this is absolutely not an issue. They are driving, nobody is touching them.
Okay,
so it is not affecting my business, because my business is not built on the business model of destroying the country.
Okay, thank you. That's good. It is good to clear up. As you say, sometimes the wrong information comes out in the media. The second thing I wanted to follow up on, again, for those of us who perhaps are not following social media in Egypt, if you could shed some light on what the false allegations that have been made against Gili have been and how you have fought back, how you've been able to demonstrate that they are false.
I have 30,000 cars running in the streets of Cairo, and I do not know exactly what the normal percentage of accidents, but if you have 30,000 vehicle on the road, you can expect a few hundred accidents every year. In an accident, if the car hits the pavement of the road or whatever, possibly a rim can break, even if it is a Volvo car or a Mercedes car or an Audi car. So if a rim is getting severe external forces, whatever the maker of the rim will break. So there were allegations that in some accidents which happened with Geely cars, and in those accidents the rim was broken, the allegation was that the accident happened because of the breaking of the rim. So when somebody started talking about this in the social media, all the guys who had similar accidents during the last 3 years started saying, and we too, we have the same problem. We had an accident. So guys, something like 20 cases started gathering, cases which happened 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and a month ago, claiming that the rims breaking was the cause of their accident. So I was shaken. Personally, I was shaken because I didn't know. And when Geely brought me their report saying that the accident was the cause of the rim breaking, not vice versa, I couldn't get convinced because they were just defending themselves. So they had to be biased, I thought so. So I sent a number of rims, brand new rims, and broken rims from accidents to a very famous testing institute in Germany, and I got a definitive opinion saying that we did not find a single case or a single evidence which proves that the breaking rims was the cause of the accident. But on the contrary, the accidents were, or the accidents were the cause of breaking them. So the moment I got this, I started taking a very strong position, putting warning in all the social media that if anyone talks untruly about the car, I'm going to take him to court. In no time, they disappeared. And I'm just waiting for one to show up.
Right.
And he will get the lesson.
Okay.
So that's exactly what happened. So it's mainly they were talking about the rim.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
The next item, I just wanted to understand, to clear up, in Iraq, what is the total loss that the Iraqi business has made in the first half? And just to clear up, that is the reason why your minority interest is appearing as a positive contributor in the statement.
Until Abbas gets the exact number, I have to just want to mention that, as a matter of fact, not only Iraq, Middle East means Levant countries, Saudi and the Gulf. Middle East suffered huge oversupply of Hyundai and Kia cars during the last year and the very early part of this year. I personally went to Emirates in September, and I have seen something like 80,000 cars stored there. 80,000 cars. And as a matter of fact, we at the end of last year, we had a big stock. We have decided to start liquidating from September last year when I saw this. And we started the liquidation making less profit than before. Then it became, by year end, at break even. Then this year it became at loss. The good news is I only have now 550 cars stock. So I was the first distributor in all those countries who cleaned and got out. So the losses are behind me. This morning I was calculating how much I will lose further. I find out a bit less than $1 million. Our losses in the first half of this year is 32 million Egyptian pound in Iraq. 32 million Egyptian pound in Iraq in the first half.
So can you explain to me what the 33 million positive minority level is? And I thought that was all Iraq, but there's some other businesses as well which are contributing to that then.
33, maybe 1 million from GB Polo.
Okay, no, but 32 million is the total loss of the Iraqi business, of which your statement
32 is the total. Total or total?
Okay, but then that should be, because if I look at your P&L, you've reported a profit before tax of 123 million. And then a tax rate, as we said, which is very high, because if I understand correctly, the profit before tax number includes a loss for Iraq. So you're saying that we should add 33 to that 123 to get the Egyptian profit, is that correct?
One moment.
Let's take our next question now.
One moment, please.
The first portion in the minority interest is 32 million is total losses coming from Iraqi operation, and the rest is coming from the GB Bolo, which is manufacturing for buses, and this is owned by partially by GB Auto, and the rest is owned by Marco Bolo.
Okay, so what's your ownership of the Iraqi business? How much do you own?
Ownership is 50%
of Iraq and 50% of GB Polo. Both of them you own 50%.
Yeah.
Okay, so GB Polo business is losing roughly the same amount as the Iraqi business at the moment, then,
GB Polo is 15. 15 total?
Total 15 million loss.
GBP is 15, the minority share.
Yeah, I mean 30.
30, yeah.
But 32 and 30.
Okay.
30. 32 and 30.
Okay. Okay. I think, okay. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
30 million and less, maybe? Okay. طب ازاي احنا بعد ما سلمنا 300 عروض Yes
operator would you like the next question? Our
Hello?
Next question comes from Abdel Rahman of Khalifa of Beltone Financial.
I have two questions. One is how is the GB Auto benefiting from the GCC spending in the trucks segment, the commercial vehicles? And the other question is, are we still on starting assembling the Elantra in October 2015, or when is it going to start?
It's very clear from the results. The commercial vehicle business is booming, so we are doing very well, either in construction equipment or light truck or heavy truck or trailer. So
in the release, it says the trucks reported the volume drop in the first half 2015.
Because unfortunately they do not segregate between the light truck and the truck. So light truck may not be the first half. There was no tender from the Ministry of Interior or Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, which are the big customers. But the heavy truck segment, which relates directly to the projects financed by the GCC, is booming.
Okay.
Second question, Elantra, yes, we are on schedule. We may have a couple of months delay, so we may expect by year end.
So the slowdown, the part related to the slowdown in GCC spending, it's meant to say the funding, the Egypt-based funded projects by the GCC, right?
I don't hear. I didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. So I meant to say that the slowdown in GCC in this part related to the trucks, you meant to say that the GCC funded projects in Egypt that slowed down, right?
No, I didn't mean that. Okay. My sales until the first half of this year are related to projects which were started last year and the year before. So my sales until now are very strong. Whether the funding from GCC will reduce or not because of the current oil prices, I don't know, and I don't know what will happen. But until now, we have a very strong demand for heavy trucks.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, but as a reminder, please press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and hopefully we meet again in November to talk about the third quarter. Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.